Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home of live college football coverage in Atlanta. This Saturday at 8 a.m., we get the day started with college football game time brought to you by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com and by Alumni Hall. Shop UGA, Bama, Tennessee, and more. It's where the fans shop. John Fricke, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, and Garrett Chapman will set the stage for all the big matchups. Then we have a triple header of games starting at 11:30 a.m., Ohio State hosting Penn State. That's followed by Notre Dame at Boston College, and then Oklahoma at Tennessee. That's all this Saturday on 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you each and every weeknight here, 6 to 10 p.m. We're going to take a brief respite from the awesome phone calls we've been doing all night long on the Falcons. We'll get right back to them at 8:40, so if you're on hold, stay there. 404-726-0929. Let's talk some Hawks, though, as they've gotten the season underway. Caleb Johnson, our Hawks insider, joins me now. Caleb, it's not the 1-3 that's concerning. It's the start of a new year. Got to take time to gel. That's fine. It's the two areas of weakness that we've seen so far that make me pearl clutch just a little bit because it's more of the same, and that is defensive metrics and that is three-point shooting.
Yeah, Chris, it's not been good, man. It's one where after opening night, I was willing to pump the brakes because it's like, come on, guys. You know, those sorts of things can happen. Those anomalies can happen where you start a game and essentially you were missing Dyson Daniels for most of that game because he got in foul trouble so early. And it's like, all right, you got outran, you got outplayed by a team that you really didn't know what to expect from. That's all well and good. And then you go to Orlando and you're already dealing with some injuries, which is another one of those things. You talk about, you know, defensive issues and you talk about three point percentage issues. Well, you'd have to throw in injuries as well. And it wasn't until the Chicago game that you actually had a full lineup out there that Quinn Snyder could use for an entire game. The OKC game, I feel like you can kind of throw out just because, defending champs, they're really good. And, you know, I think you were missing some pieces that really threw the Hawks off their game. But overall, it's certainly the defensive side of the floor is big time concerning. I mean, the second half against the Chicago Bulls, the Hawks had a 142 defensive rating. And for those people who, you know, kind of don't understand it, that's points per 100 possessions and an average defensive rate. An average defensive rating would be like 118, 120. It was 142 for the Hawks in that second half. And so it was way too high. They were just giving up points left and right. And then rebounding is another massive problem for this team, Chris, that I guess I overlooked, if I'm being completely honest. And I kind of wonder if Ansi Salehe overlooked it as well, because, you know, I keep hearing from Quinn Snyder saying, oh, we've got to defend with all five guys, and that would include rebounding. But right now, this team is the second worst rebounding team in the NBA when it comes to rebounding percentage. And so it's been a glaring problem that a guy like Kristaps Porzingis wasn't going to fix, because we already knew coming in, he is a guy who blocks shots. He's not a great rebounder. And so I thought, you know, Jalen would be a guy that would step up some more. I thought O would be someone who would be more impactful with the rebounds that he is getting. But so far, that's been a statistic that's really, been quite a problem for the Hawks.
How much of it do you attribute to this team having significant roster turnover in the non-glue parts, so to speak, of the team, your Trey's, your Jalen Johnson's?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I'll say this. I hope that's what it is. Like, I hope that's all the problem is. I hope it is just a matter of, man, these guys have just got to play a little bit longer together. Because what we heard during training camp, and I talked about this on the podcast that I had come out today, Atlanta Basketball with Caleb Johnson. I was like, we heard during training camp, Kristaps and Nikhil and Trey talk about, man, it's been so easy gelling as new teammates. Like, Trey is able to find us, when we don't even expect the ball. And I guess the one part that was overlooked during all of this quote-unquote easy transition was, what about the defensive side of the ball? Because just because you brought in a guy like Kristaps who blocks shots, just because you brought in a guy who is an additional point of attack defender in Nickeil Alexander-Walker, that doesn't necessarily mean it's all going to just magically work. Because what I'm seeing on the floor, I'm watching guys who either have an effort problem, which is that is detrimental, blow it up if you're dealing with players who just straight up, to start the season off, don't have the want to give the effort. And we've had as much as, Quinn literally saying last night, Lauren Williams of the AJC asks him essentially, and Quinn Snyder said, it's not a hustle problem. Our guys are playing hard. There's no shortage of effort. And so if I'm to believe it's not an effort problem, then it is a coaching and an understanding problem for the players, where they're not communicating enough and guys think someone else is supposed to do X, Y, and Z, because it feels like it's constantly where you're looking and you're like, man, how is someone going downhill at the, at the basket and he feels unguarded, and they're either getting easy layups or dunks, or there's just, constant ball movement from opposing teams that seem to confuse the Hawks. It just feels like a situation of, I'm hoping it is guys that haven't gelled together just yet, and are making too many assumptions or just thinking too hard, maybe, is the case as they learn a new system, and not the alternative, which, like I said, is, would be an effort problem.
Not worried about tomorrow in Brooklyn, though, right?
I mean, you shouldn't be, because here's the thing. The Brooklyn Nets have still not won a basketball game. You don't want to be the first team that gives them their first win. The Charlotte Hornets had them a while back, I believe it was on opening night, and blew them out. And that's the Charlotte Hornets, a team that, sure, maybe they're not going to be as bad as they were a year ago, but you still aren't expecting a whole lot from, a Charles Lee coached team that is still trying to get a lot from a lot of youth. Even though I know LaMelo isn't necessarily a young player anymore, he plays erratically like one. So I think that's the type of, that's the type of situation that you need a confidence booster, and Brooklyn should absolutely, be the kind of team that is that, because I think the next few games for the Hawks there are no cakewalks, especially as you play the Pacers and the Cavaliers, and getting a rematch of sorts with the Raptors. So I think there is some good opportunities for improvement out of this team. And then in the same respect, that there is also the possibility that is certainly on the table, that we have to acknowledge that this thing could get off the rails and then, hold on for dear life of the roller coaster that it would be if we find ourselves in that position. I'm interested to see, Trae Young is continuing to live the celebrity life that he's clearly gotten to enjoy in the offseason.
What's going on, Jimmy Fallon, tonight?
Yeah, I was just about to say he's going to be on the Tonight Show. And so I'm sure he's not going to be, given any hard-hitting questions. But I know Hawks fans aren't going to love it too much if Trey is out enjoying the nightlife on the Tonight Show and then they, have a stinker against the Nets. So it's certainly going to be interesting.
While I have you here, do you think this gambling and game-fixing saga is coming to an end here with this blockbuster outing of guys like Chauncey Billups and Damon Jones and Terry Rozier? Or do you think this is scratching the surface? Where do you lean more towards?
I don't think the FBI would have pulled the trigger at this point if there were still more things to unveil, because part of this has been a 6-year investigation into this whole thing. The Chauncey Billups side of this called Operation Royal Flush, as we've kind of learned more, it appears that Chauncey Billups might be connected to both the Operation Royal Flush and the Operation Nothing But Bet, which is the one that Terry Rozier is connected to when it comes to, you know, giving insider information on players and all that sort of thing. I hope that this is the worst of it. And, you know, I mean, I would love to say, I hope that the FBI was drawing too many conclusions and they didn't have all their facts. But I just don't know that they would have come out and, you know, had this sort of ordeal and arrested the guys that they arrested and released the information they did if they hadn't crossed their T's and dotted their I's. This looks like something where, you know, the likes of Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups are going to get lifetime bans from the NBA, but that's going to be the worst of their problems because they're talking about prison time when you have, you know, a current NBA coach who is alleged to have, you know, manipulated shuffling machines and had x-ray tables and was wearing special glasses. Like, this is some true movie type stuff that played out in front of everyone. And is now, you know, hopefully this is enough to scare people off in the future, but I just don't know if it is.
Before I let you go, the proliferation of 50-point games is at an all-time clip to start the year. Is this just a reflection of where we at in basketball, or are we witnessing just some of the truly greats of all time playing together?
You know, I think it is just an interesting point of where we find ourselves in the NBA, because you're getting more possessions than ever because teams are playing at a faster pace than they've ever played before. And I do think, like, I mean, like, guys are honing skills and working on their bodies, and like all of those sorts of things are progressing towards, you know, seeing some of the best basketball that we've ever seen. And I think you can look over to the NFL and say, you know, we've seen in times past where offenses have really taken off, and then maybe rules are changed, or maybe just defensive minded people start to strategize and figure out things to work. And so, you know, will defenses kind of come around and counteract it all? I don't know, but I know as much as fans love seeing points scored, that they don't want it to be so incredibly easy. And I think, you know, that's the part that I get concerned about, is we don't want games turning into the All-Star game, and I don't think they necessarily are, but players are truly just incredible athletes. When you've got guys like Zachary Risache, who at his height can just shoot over guys, I mean, how do you defend that? How do you defend the Kevin Durant and the likes and all of those sorts of things? It's just, I don't know where it goes from here, but I would assume there is a course correction on the way.
Caleb, appreciate the time as always. We'll be checking out the pod. We'll talk soon.
All right, sounds good, man. Have a good one.
All right, that is Caleb Johnson, our Hawks insider. When we get back, we'll take more of your calls on the Falcons. What needs to be fixed the most? You know how I feel. You got to get that playbook adjusted, man. Play calling needs to be better. The offensive performance the last 2 weeks has been brutally unacceptable, and it starts and ends with our offensive coordinator and his staff, Zach Robinson. But what do you think? 404-726-0929. We'll take more of your calls, plus a producer six-pack with Big O on the way as well to wrap up a busy 8 o'clock hour on Chris Thomas Tonight.